Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the 3Q and 9 months FY26 results conference call of Shilpa Medicare Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Monish Shah, Head Investor Relations and Strategy. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Monish.
Thank you, and welcome to our 3Q and 9 months FY26 results conference call. Today we are joined on the call by Mr. Keshav Bhutada, Executive Director and CEO of Shilpa Pharma Life Sciences, and Mr. Alpesh Dalal, our CFO. The financial results and the presentations are uploaded on the stock exchanges, and the transcript along with the audio will be available on the website of the company and the stock exchanges as well. Please note today's discussion might include certain forward-looking statements based on current expectations and assumptions. These statements are subject to risk and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements. With that, I would like to hand the call over to Mr. Keshav for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our call today. Each quarter, our strategy is translating into tangible milestones, and this quarter is no exception. We are pleased to share another quarter of highest revenue and EBITDA numbers for the company. As a company, our focus is on limited competition products, first-in-class therapies, complex delivery platforms, integrated CDMO offerings, and high-value biologics. And our model is simple: invest in R&D, build differentiated assets, launch it with strong margins, scale it through partnership, and we'll continue to focus on it. Now let me start briefing about various business divisions. I'll be briefing my talk on three subjects: API, formulation, and biologics. Let me start with the API business, in which on the CDMO side, let me start with the specialty CDMO, in which we have added in the current quarter three new CDMO programs. And among our existing programs, our first NC program with a US customer, it's commercialized by our partners, and our second NC program is the phase 3 studies are ongoing for our US.
Sorry to interrupt, we are unable to hear the management.
Yeah, sorry, I had small network issue. And on the specialty CDMO, so am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead, sir.
So, and in the existing CDMO program, the second US NC program for our partner, the phase 3 studies are ongoing. And the third US NC program, where we have partnered with Unicycid Therapeutics, where a dedicated commercial block we are constructing. And the block will get commissioned in Q4 FY26. And we will be taking exhibit batches in Q1 FY27. And we have also received with one of our US partners, we were doing a phase 2 NC program where we are developing both API and formulation for them. Our partner has received orphan designation and fast track designation, and the same program they are doing it for multiple indications. Now let me start briefing about oncology and non-oncology business. We have added in current quarter 10 new oncology products in grid, which are globally top blockbusters. And 3 new oncology products were validated in current quarter. And we have also completed scale-up of one non-infringing oncology API, and for which the validation batches will be completed in Q4 FY26. And for the same product, we will be doing formulation also. On the peptide side, semaglutide, which is one of the largest blockbusters on GLP-1 side, we are developing both injectable and oral solid product in the formulation side. And on the API side, we are developing both synthetic and semi-synthetic API. The planned scale-up and validation batches are initiated, and we are planning to complete in Q4/Q1 FY27. On the CapEx side, a company is planning to build a large-scale peptide manufacturing capacity for which the civil work is already started, and we are planning to complete this CapEx in second half of FY27. Now let me start briefing about formulation business. So on the formulation side, our first NC molecule which we have launched in the current in the Q3 was Nor-UDCA, Nor-Urso-Deoxycholic Acid, which has exceeded our expectations, and we have had great response from the physicians. And we have great visibility for the product, and we have firm orders already in place for Q4. And molecule has excellent response in patients, and we are confident that it will have significant potential in next financial year. Now, for Nor-UDCA, the same molecule we are planning to take globally to Europe and US market also. We are planning to start human studies for Europe in next financial year. We are also doing this same product for multiple other different new indications also. On the existing commercial products, we have three commercial 505B2 products which are already in market. We are seeing good traction, and every quarter there is a growth quarter on quarter. On the Europe market, Nilotinib, which is our current commercial product, we are seeing good traction on volumes every quarter on quarter. On the development side, one new complex injectable product. We have completed scale-up batches in the current quarter, and we are planning to complete registration batches by Q4 FY26. And the same product will be filed globally. In the current quarter, we have successfully received marketing authorization for our first transdermal patch product, which is Roti Goti. And we will be planning to launch this product with our partner in FY27. And Roti Goti transdermal patch product in US also we are planning to file in Q4 FY26. Now let me start, I'll give you a short update on complex pipeline. On complex pipeline, our first product, which is Ondansetron long acting injection, we have successfully completed phase 3 clinical studies, and the product is already filed in India, and we are planning to commercialize in first half of FY27. For same product, Euro clinical study, we will be planning to start in Q4 FY26, and we will be planning to complete European phase 3 studies in FY27. Second product, SML-TOP09, which is a topical product for androgenic alopecia, and we are planning to complete human clinical studies in FY27. For the same product, we have already submitted European scientific advice, and we have got positive outcome on our clinical study design. Third product, which is SML-ODS-014. It's a first product, first of its kind, what we are developing in generic side, but a complex 505B2 product, where our registration batches are completed, and we will be starting clinical study in Q1 FY27. And filing is planned in second half of FY27 in US. In the next financial year, there will be two new launches which will be happening in Europe market on formulation side. Now let me brief you about our CDMO agreement, where we are doing in the integrated API with formulation project with Unicycive Therapeutics, where we are planning the Unicycive Therapeutics have resubmitted the filing to FDA, and they have received PDUFA date of June 29, 2026. We expect commercialization to happen in FY27. Now I'll brief about our biologics division. Our first biosimilar, which is Aflibercept, which is a complex eye injection. Our India phase 3 studies is going as planned, and we are planning for submission in first half of FY27. It will be one of the very few generic players will be launching this product in India with good, great potential, for which already company is partnered with two of the strong ophthalmic partners. We have two new biosimilar products which are already entering human studies in FY27. SBPL-01, which is an ADC product, which is the first ADC lab developed ADC product which company has developed, and the product lab development is completed, and we will be entering human studies of our first ADC product in next financial year. On the NB new map side, we have partnership with Alveolus and MapTree, where both Alveolus and MapTree project will be entering phase 1 human studies in FY27. I'm happy to inform everyone that MapTree product, which where we are a CDMO exclusive partner for them, the product has received orphan designation for 2 different indications. GMP facility for our ADC manufacturing, we are planning to commission in Q4 FY26. It will be first of its kind ADC manufacturing facility in India with integrated payload linker and conjugation facility. On CDMO side in biologics, we have 5 active programs ongoing with multiple partners, in which 2 programs will be entering phase 1 studies in next financial year for our partner. On albumin side, which is a new biological entity which company is developing, the global CT clinical trial protocol approval is received in current quarter, and IMPD submission for Europe is targeted in Q4 FY26. In summary, whatever heavy lifting was required for the company on the investment side, we have largely completed in last many years, and the focus now is on execution, scaling, and getting maximum ROC from all our investment. Thank you.
Shall we start with the question and answer session?
Yeah, there is actually the financial update is still pending. This is Alpesh Saral here.
Please let me know.
Yeah. So good evening, everyone. I'll just quickly take you through the financial performance for Q3 and 9 months. As Keshav had mentioned, we have reported the highest ever quarterly revenue of 411 crores, recording a growth of 28% year-on-year, whereas our 9 months revenue were at 1,110 crore, growing at 14%. Our gross margin for the quarter stood at 68% and 71% for 9 months period. We also reported our highest ever quarterly EBITDA at 115 crores as compared to 82 crore in Q3 of FY25, reflecting a robust growth of 41%. And EBITDA margins for the quarters were at healthy 28% as against 26% last year. Whereas EBITDA margins for 9 months were 29% as compared to 26% last year. So this improvement in EBITDA margin was primarily driven by increased revenue, driving positive operating leverage. Now, moving to other financial highlights, our interest outgo has seen reduction year on year, and we believe it is now stabilized. It is now stabilized at the current quarter run rate for the near future, as we expect to fund our capex program mainly via our internal accruals. And during the quarter, we also had an exceptional item amounting to rupees 13 crores pre-tax, on account of change in labor code implemented by the Government of India. Adjusting that to the PAT for the quarter stood at 55 crore and 146 crore for 9 months period. The 9 month PAT is nearly double of full year PAT of FY25, reflecting the acceleration that we are witnessing in our growth. And we have also incurred a capex of about 87 crores during the third quarter. I would also like to draw your attention to the fact that despite increased capex, we have been able to improve our ROC profile of the company. Our adjusted ROC, excluding investments made in our high growth potential businesses like biologics and NBV, we have a significant improvement from 3.5% in FY23 to over 17% in the first 9 months period. With biologics business pipeline progressing well, we remain confident of improving our operating leverage, resulting into higher ROC in coming years. Now, a quick highlight on the segmental performance. Our non-captive API business clocked a revenue of 186 crores compared to 183 crores in the previous year. However, our API unit has been progressively increasing its support for our in-house product portfolio formulation business. And including this captive business, the API business witnessed a robust growth of 11% from 218 crores in third quarter of previous year to 243 crores in the current year. As far as the formulation business is concerned, the formulation revenues for the quarter were at 177%, 177 crores, growing at 50% year-on-year. And ex-licensing income, the base business reported a robust growth in the revenue, revenue growth of 104% quarter-on-quarter and 83% for the 9 months period. And to sustain this revenue momentum in our FDF vertical, we continue advancing a pipeline of complex products. Our strategy of developing and launching niche products globally through strategic partners is gaining traction, as evidenced by our EU formulation business, which delivered over 100% revenue growth year-on-year. And we for our formulation business, we also launched NorUDCA domestically under a dual strategy, one under our own label and three other through strategic partnership with three large pharma companies in India. So, and the strong initial reception that this product has received has translated into a very healthy order book for the coming quarters as well. During the quarter, we also received approval for our complex transdermal product Rotigotin from EMA. With launch preparations underway with our market partner, we expect to launch in Q1 of FY27. With this, I would now like to open the forum for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shubham Sehgal from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yes, okay. So the first question is that we reported revenues for the Europe region around 73 crores for this quarter, and also like the scale-up that has been there the few past quarters, does this revenue include purely product sales or it also includes the licensing income for this product?
Yeah, so this doesn't include any licensing income. It is only in relation to the products that we have and product sales that we have got.
Okay, so this thing, I'm assuming we report in the license fees line item, right? So this 73 crore, that's purely product.
Yeah. Licensing line item is separate. So this what we have reported here under EU is only in relation to product sales.
Okay, and so similarly for even the US revenues, it just represents the market share. It does not include any licensing revenue, right?
Correct. That's right.
Okay, got it. Next question is that, apart from the licensing in the Europe sales only, I wanted to ask, like, apart from the sales, does it include any profit share in that?
Profit share is part of product sale only. It's just that profit share comes in a little later, but it is in relation to product sale only. So profit share is included there. Yeah.
Okay, so for example, for nilotinib product, what could be the range, you know, like in which time we receive the profit share? So like earlier mentioned, for Amneal, we receive half yearly, but for nilotinib, like how does the profit share range, like when, with how much lag do we receive it?
So basically, we do get updates from our partners quarterly. There are times that we have to do some reconciliation and also there might be some small adjustment here and there for that. But generally, we do receive all the updates from our partners on a quarterly basis.
Okay, got it. My next question was about our non-onco API segment. So the current scale-up that we've seen in the revenues, so we actually in the back.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sehgal, but we lost you in between. Can you please repeat? Hello. Yes, sure.
So I was asking about non-co API segment. We had our capacity expansions, right? So when we're seeing right now, the scale-up, is it reflecting that capacity expansion, the realized capacity, or is it still, you know, like room for more scale for revenue in that expanded capacity?
Sorry, I think we are not at all able to hear you, and there is a lot of disturbance.
Mr. Shubham, can you please check your connectivity because there is a lot of voice which is breaking. We are unable to hear
you
clearly.
Hello. Is it better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. So I was asking about the non-co API segment and basically the revenues that we are seeing right now, the scale-up, is it affecting the capacities that we've expanded, or is there still room for more scale-up there in the expanded capacities?
Yeah, there is room for capacity. So we are not utilizing fully our non-oncology capacity because there are some products where the launch and full volumes are expected to grow quarter-on-quarter. So we will see an increase in non-oncology revenues in the upcoming quarters also and even in next financial year.
Okay, and that will, so like we do have room, right? Like the capacity expansions that we have done for our products?
Yes.
There is still room left.
Yes, you are right.
Okay, got it. My next question was about the CDMO molecule, which has received the US FDA approval and expected to commercialize in Q4 FY26. Could you provide any color on it? Like what could be the scale of the molecule and if that's possible?
No, actually, it is our partner product, and we are bounded by confidentiality under that. So whatever we will be able to, whatever product sales we will be doing, right, quarter-on-quarter, I think that will be visible in the numbers in quarters to come.
Okay, but are we the exclusive supply partner here?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I'll just join back in the queue for a few more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, we request you to please limit your question to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Kiran from Table Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Fantastic results, Keshav. All the fructifying of a lot of years of effort is coming through. I had a couple of clarifying questions. On the formulations scale-up, I mean, it is very heartening to see we had about 176 crore total, and ex-licensing is about 146 crore. Should we take this as a base revenue? Because Europe, 73 crore, I don't know if it's base or because it includes profit share, it can vary. But do you think about 150+ revenue now it seems base case for formulations?
Yes. You're right, Kiran. It can be assumed at least for upcoming quarters.
Got it. Any reason why ROW has degrown this year, Keshav, not year-on-year, but essentially Q4 FY25, we did 44, then 36, then 25, then 24. ROW, are we facing any particular challenges within formulations?
No, see, ROW is a purely tender-driven supply, and sometimes there are few tender supplies which we would have done in one quarter, and that is supplied for like two quarters, right? So I think ROW is majorly a tender-driven business market. So you will see that quarter-on-quarter, there may be variation, but overall, if you see on a year-on-year basis, right, ROW business has grown.
Got it. Okay. My second question, Keshav, is in terms of oncology scale-up, we are struggling to cross that 140-150 crore mark because Q1 was 116, then 141, then 111. Any particular direction or challenges in terms of how we can grow this oncology revenue substantially over the next 1 year?
So yeah, Kiran, on oncology side, what we are trying to do is a major of our supplies, right? Some percentage of it, we are trying to do it more for captive because on captive, right, you will have formulation sales also, and that is very good for the company. But apart from that, there are many other new products which are under validation. So for the last 2 years, we had some issues with the taking new product validations, which we have resolved, and we have now good capacities available for taking new products. So you will see that in the upcoming financial year, oncology as an overall business also will grow.
Got it. Got it. And final question, albumin, in the presentation we are saying phase III trials we have started both for India and Europe in Q4 FY26. Did we start recently? I mean, we were supposed to start in Q2, so any particular delays? Are we filing from the new facility? If you could just give some color, that'd be great.
Yeah, Kiran, see, on albumin, I think already I briefed on previous calls also. See, what is important is we have been getting the clinical study approval. So you will see our global clinical studies is divided into two parts. We have patients from India as well as Europe, okay? So from India, whatever patients were there, we have even informed everyone that our India clinical study approval we have received in Q3, okay, to do global clinical studies from India, from Indian regulatory body. And same for Europe, what we are planning to do is in Europe to start any European clinical study, you have to go for IMPD submission. So IMPD submission is something which we are targeting in Q4. Once that IMPD submission approval is there, then the study will start. So tentatively, our study should start in next quarter, like I mean in the first half of FY27 with IMPD approval.
That is for Europe. India has already started.
Yes. Yeah, India, the study will be started from our new facility. Yes, you're right.
New facility. And any timeline, Keshav, on albumin in terms of when you expect the trials to get completed, especially India ones? I mean, Europe can take time.
See, as I already informed in previous call also, we are planning to complete our India study maybe in FY27, end of FY27, or it can be maybe first quarter of FY28.
Got it. Okay. Perfect. Thanks so much and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishna Kansara from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi everyone. First of all, many congratulations to the entire team on a very impressive set of numbers. My first question is on nilotinib. So if we look at our European formulation segment this quarter, it has grown from 35 crores to 73 crores if we compare it year on year. So how much of this growth was contributed by nilotinib? And also in earlier calls, we had emphasized on lack of competition from generic players in this case. So has the scenario changed, or is it still the case that competition remains limited? This is my first question.
Yeah, it's a very good question. And see, first part, what I want to clarify, Europe is a very tender-driven market, okay? And even today, if you see, we have launched nilotinib in Europe from now many quarters. Even today, innovator controls almost 40% market in Europe, okay? So what I'm trying to say is nilotinib as a product by itself in Europe is a tender-driven product. And what we have, the situation has not changed as on date currently. And we are seeing good traction on volumes as well as on sales, which I mentioned in my speech also, that quarter on quarter, the sales is increasing, okay? And coming to second question, how much of the European sales is nilotinib? We don't disclose product-specific numbers. So I think that part, it will be difficult for me to explain. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. Thank you for the answer. My next question is on our API segment. So if we look at our history of last seven, eight quarters, there has not been any growth. And we had recently increased our capacity of key APIs, including tranexamic acid and others. So when can we expect our API segment to start benefiting from this increased capacity base and eventually start recording a double-digit kind of a growth?
So Krishna, I think first part, API segment, if you see our 9 months number itself, right, for the if you compare last year against this year, last year we have done close to 622-odd crores, and this year we have done 725 crores. So API by itself in 9 months has grown by almost 17-odd%, right?
Right. But if we exclude the captive consumption, the growth is not.
Krishna, Alpesh here, as I had mentioned in my speech also, see, the API business is also supporting the formulation business with the supplies. And that's a strategic call that we have taken because, you know, you get end-to-end margins there. So it is not appropriate because it's a sizable supply that happens, right, from the same plant, same this thing. So excluding that and saying that the growth is not happening in API probably is not a correct way of analyzing it.
Yeah. Okay. When can we expect to start seeing the benefits of the increased capacity, like the recent CAPEX that we did in API? Like, has the volume ramp-up started?
So you will see volume ramp up happening in maybe starting from second quarter of next year.
Second quarter of next year. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
And just one last question on NorUDCA. It's been a few months since we launched it, and I understand that this could be too early for any sort of guidance. But in our last conversation, you mentioned that from Q1 of FY27, we could see a meaningful ramp up in this molecule. So if you can just give an update on that, how is the order book shaping up from, let's say, the three marketing partners with whom we have tied up? If you can just give some sense around NorUDCA.
See, especially on NorUDCA, as I mentioned, right, it has the launch was very successful and it has exceeded our expectations. So whatever growth we were expecting to start from Q1, right, we would see that in Q4 itself. So you will see that from already we have a strong order book. At the end of Q3, we had strong order book of Q4 by end of Q4. So it means for the whole of Q4, already we have order book covered from all three of our partners and including our captive sales also. So we have seen good traction in the molecule. And as and when we have more product being sold and it reaches more patients, right, I think we will have more idea of that, of the product.
Okay. Okay. Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your answers.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from Novise Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on a very good set of numbers. Sir, you know, it looks like FY27 also will be a very good year. And you mentioned that in presentation. The question is, sir, one, which division do you think will really contribute, you know, the next year? I know, you know, maybe each one is firing, but I think give us some sense for us to model FY27, which division we should look forward to as, you know, something, you know, which will really contribute to the higher growth. And second, you may not quantify it, sir. And second, sir, you know, congrats on this rare cancer drug, you know, orphan drug, you know, confirmation. The question there is, sir, one, since it's a partner drug, should we look forward to some licensing, you know, income as it progresses, or should we be worried at that, you know, FY27 will be an investment year, you know, for some clinical trial, and maybe the benefit will come later, because it looks like, you know, it could be a sizable drug if it, you know, gets an approval. Thank you.
Yeah, Amish, I think I'll answer your second question. So on the product where we are partnered with a partner, right, there for this product where, which is for orphan designation, we are not expecting any licensing revenues there, and our partner will be doing clinical studies, which you rightly mentioned, it will be done in next financial year. So we will have a manufacturing revenue. I think that is the major part of revenue, which we will get as and when the molecule is advancing the development phase. Okay. And on the first question which you have asked,
the growth across the
second. Yeah, growth across the next financial year, right? The major delta what we will be seeing, I think it will come more from our biologics and formulation business, and API will be more like a study business which will continue to grow at a steady pace.
Okay. And sir, one last quick question on the albumin side. Sir, is there a now line of visibility that it should be commercialized if we are successful in FY28 at least in India, one, and two, if you can just remind us if possible on the overall, you know, market opportunity size for that drug, let's say in India or, you know, the globally, what kind of size, potential size it is, you know, which we are interested in. Thanks.
See, to answer your first question, yes, FY28 commercialization in India, yes, it's very much possible for us as on today, okay? and what is the potential, how big it will be. I think that is something we don't want to commit anything today or even comment on that. It's a good opportunity. Albumin by itself is a shortage product always. It has a lot of complexities on supply chain, right? So bringing a recombinant version, purer version will always have advantage. So I think our today's focus most important is on starting and completing clinical studies, I think, which is most important milestone for this product. And same the company is currently focusing.
Sure, sir. Thanks, sir. All the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I am audible.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. On North UDCA, I just want. See, we've launched the product, and as you mentioned in the call, that the launch has been pretty good, better than our expectations. And in the starting, you mentioned we would look at trials in Europe and US. But as we understand, in Europe, there is already a trial which is ongoing, and that player has also outlicensed it to for some of the geographies. So based on the like the market development which we have seen, how are you thinking about ROW markets where based on Indian trials you may be able to launch? So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, see, North UDC as a product, okay, I'll divide my answer into two parts. One is Europe and rest of the world. So for Europe market, yes, you are right, already there is a company which is an innovator who is doing this product for some indication, okay. What we are doing is completely different. It's for a different indication, okay? And more details on that, which indication, how the market size and all, we will go in a, because to avoid competitiveness, we would inform this to our investors in right time. So currently what I can tell you, we are going ahead for Europe, and it's a very promising study which we will be planning, but it will be for a completely different indication, okay? Now, coming to the ROW market question, what you have asked, yes, our India study was covering ROW study design also. And already in ROW markets, we have started partnering. We have even started filing in some of the ROW markets. And you will see in the next, our target is in next financial year to file in all the majority of important ROW markets.
Okay. So based on India market and ROW market, and based on whatever studies you would have done, do you see this product has the potential to like become a significantly large product, like a 200, 300 crores kind of a product? I'm not asking for timeline, but based on the market opportunity and based on the indications what you have received, how do you see it?
Yeah, see, as we already mentioned, right, this product, NAFLD as a disease by itself is very prevailing. And in India itself, there are 25% patient population who is suffering from NAFLD, which is as per the statistics. So I think, yes, it's a significant opportunity and a meaningful opportunity for the company. How much it will be, when it will be, I think, we, as I mentioned already, right, it will be told more in the upcoming quarters.
Fine, sure. Thanks. I'll come back in the
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Keshav. First question on oncology API. Small companies are entering and gaining market share. Large companies which are present in other therapies are entering onco and gaining market share, filing DMFs. You alluded to capacity constraints, okay, but that's fine. But even in terms of product development, I think if I look at the timeline, you were late to file palbociclib. Our other DMF filings are more of base chemicals like methotrexate. We are late to file products like tivozanib, relugolix, ruxolitinib. So where did we lose the plot in terms of new product development, especially in onco, where we are supposed to be ahead of peers?
Yeah, Sanjay, I think it's a very good question, and I think I'll give you a very clear answer on that. Oncology has been our main business and we'll continue to focus on it. Yeah. And you're right, in last 1 year, we have not taken more oncology new molecules, only which were required for our captive sales, we have done it. That's a very right observation. But as a company, yes, we have, even today, we have very strong oncology pipeline. Palbociclib and all, these were validated itself last almost 1 year back, right? So you will see in next 1 year, there will be a lot of filings which will be coming. And as I already mentioned in my speech, right, each of these molecules are blockbusters. And one differentiation which Shilpa will always have, I feel, is we'll have something differentiated either in API or in formulation, which will help us in getting better market share. Like you have seen classic example of nilotinib, right, where we have done nilotinib base, which has given us advantage in launching early, right? Like that, we have already shortlisted products which are already in various stages of development, close to 4 to 5 products already, which are in advanced stages of development.
Okay. Can you name those products and also give an update on the US FDA remediation work and the warning letter for Jachala?
See, molecule names we will not be able to give currently, because you would have seen even in nilotinib case, right, we have disclosed that in a very later stage, just to ensure that we get maximum market share, okay, and to avoid competition. And coming to your second question on US FDA thing, with after the US FDA inspection, we have finished all the CAPA, and CAPA responses are submitted to US FDA. Now we are waiting for reverts from US FDA.
Okay. Okay, got it. And second on, you mentioned about a new peptide capacity. Do you have any visibility there? What kind of products do you want to make? What is the magnitude of the capex, the quantum of the capex? The reason for asking is we spent big one albumin, transdermal patches, dispersible films way ahead of time. I understand albumin because the potential is significant, but in terms of IRR, in terms of ROCE, I think our capex in patches and films will take a lot of time. So have you calculated all those when you want to set up a new peptide capacity?
Yeah, Sanjay, I'll give you a very quick answer on that. As a company also, we have very clearly defined ourselves that now we will not invest anything which is a long gestating investment, okay? So peptide investment, if you see API business as a large also, if you see our ROC ratios, right, they are significant. So API, we have always had good investments which has given us quick returns. So, and the peptide investment is very strategic for us, because I think you will be aware there are already large GLP-1 products which are getting patent expiry this year, and even globally, right, in multiple markets, there will be patent expiries happening in next 2 to 3 years. And what Shilpa is doing, we are doing already GLP-1 liraglutide, semaglutide. For liraglutide, we have already completed API manufacturing. We have recently filed USDMS also. And formulation registration batches are ongoing. Our second product, semaglutide, where our API validation batches are ongoing. And our formulation already, both injectable and oral solid development, is already completed. And we are planning to take registration batches in first half of next financial year. And same product will be filed globally. So overall, we are seeing good opportunities on the GLP-1 side. And also there are significant CDMO opportunities which many inquiries are expected to come on the peptide side, because there are a lot of new biotech developments which are happening on the peptides also. So that is the reason we are planning to build this new capacity. And it is not a very significant capacity, significant capex which is required for this. We are planning to invest close to 40 crores, okay, for this peptide facility.
Oh, 40 crores would roughly be 40-50 kgs of peptide?
See, it is more than that.
Okay.
It depends on product, right, which product I will be taking, but it is a decent capacity.
No, let's say if you have your full capacity for semaglutide, can we do 50 to 100 kgs of peptide?
Yeah, we can do more than 100 kgs.
Got it. Okay, final question. So samples we've sent for non-therapeutic albumin, any feedback? Because when I saw the exports, we have sent it to multiple companies, some in UK, some in US, and for different applications also. So have you received any feedback That's one. And any competition coming in nilotinib in Europe? Just these two questions. Thank you.
Yeah, on albumin therapeutic, right, which I previously mentioned also, yes, we are seeding our samples in various markets, and in some markets our initial samples were approved. Now they are taking further quantities because these all products will be going into their formulations, and once their development is fixed, they will be taking registration batches with our albumin. Then filing and approval, it's a long gestating business, but this is a business where already seeding is ongoing. And I think same is visible what you have already seen. Okay. And on nilotinib, what was your question?
Is there any new competition that we are seeing in Europe? Has new players entered? What will be our market share going forward?
Yeah, see, currently we have not seen any significant competition. There is competition, but as you know, right, we have partnered with the number one generic company of Europe. So we are currently having decent market share. And at least for a couple of quarters, we don't see any competition, any big change in the numbers.
Got it, got it. Okay, I'll come back and keep. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Mehta from Valum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. Thank you for taking my question. I just had a question on the licensing income. If I see the 9 months...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Parth, but can you please speak a bit louder? We are unable to hear you, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask on the licensing income, if I see on the 9 months basis, the licensing income revenue is down by over 40%. So what would be the reason, and do we see for the full year licensing income coming back to the FY25 levels?
Yeah, see, as we previously mentioned also, right, licensing revenue is something which depends on product, market, when it is getting licensed, what are the milestones we will be realizing in that quarter and upcoming quarters. So there will be some variation in the licensing fees quarter on quarter or year on year basis. But if you see, we have already mentioned previously also, we will see a steady run rate of close to 150 odd crores licensing income every year.
Okay, so for this year also, it should cover up in the fourth quarter is what you are alluding?
Yes.
Okay, understood. And can you help me with what would be the current utilizations of our formulation plant?
The formulation plant current utilization, we have good capacity available for at least whatever requirement we have for the upcoming launches, right? We have a decent capacity available. Recently, one of our oral solid line we have already commissioned, and that is again additional oncology oral solid manufacturing capacity, which will be available, which will help us in again generating additional revenues in the next financial year.
Understood. Great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kiran from Table Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question on the financial side. In terms of debt reduction, where are we on debt? How much are we planning to pay, let's say, this year and projected next year, given our cash flows are decent now?
Yeah, so I think on the debt front, you know, broadly, we are in a comfortable position with our debt equity in the region of about 0.25, 0.26. We obviously have been investing in our growth capex also. So we haven't seen any reduction in absolute terms. But, you know, looking at the size and if you look at our presentation also, we mentioned that our debt to EBITDA ratio is constantly reducing. So overall, you know, the kind of investments that we are making right now is, you know, generating sufficient returns for us.
Sorry, how much is the absolute debt, sir, now, right now, in, as of 31st December?
So as of 31st December, our you know, debt net debt was about 625 crores.
Okay, and essentially the plan is to keep it at this level even through next year or pay a substantial amount? Because Silpa generally is known for being net debt free. That's the reason I'm asking this.
So I think, you know, what we are looking at is that we are not looking at increasing our borrowing. So, you know, whatever we keep repaying of our term loan, to that extent, it will keep coming down. But, you know, there are times we have to take some more commercial and business-related calls where, you know, based on opportunities or requirements of the business, we might have to, you know, take some borrowing on our books. But as I mentioned, that broadly, you know, we are keeping things under check where we do not exceed certain levels based on our performance.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Shroff, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my question and congratulations on very good set of numbers. So over the last 2-3 years, I think the company is going through a capex phase where we're investing a lot, but in terms of top line, we are not seeing a lot of traction coming up. And this quarter especially stood out because a very very solid growth numbers. So do you guys actually forecast that this should actually continue forward, or we should see or was this a one-off quarter where we saw 30% growth and the growth numbers should tame down from here? And if yes, I think for 27 and FY27 and FY28, what are the major contributors for that? Thank you.
Yeah, Yogesh, I think thanks for your query. And I think as I already mentioned in previous calls also, right, previously we were running through more of an investment cycle, and now what we are doing more is on burning our assets and getting maximum returns. Okay, so you will see in all the upcoming quarters where as on date, whatever we have visibility, you will see ROC ratios getting improved. So it means my whatever investments are done are converting into revenues.
Also, you know, as I had mentioned during my initial speech, Yogesh, that, you know, our base business is growing. So, you know, if you, as we have been mentioning, licensing will always be a part of our business model. But minus of licensing, if you see, our base business is growing across all the verticals. And that is giving a lot of confidence that, you know, we should be able to continue with the run rate.
This last question, on a mixed basis, what do you think would be the peak revenue from the capacities that we're doing? Obviously, that might or might not convert into actual revenue, but if you can give us a suggested broader range in terms of this is the peak revenue with the current capacities we can do, I think that would be super helpful.
No, I think as Keshav has been mentioning, right, it is not, we may not be in a position to put up a number as to what would be the peak revenue. A lot depends on the product mix, right? The way even capacity utilization can change based on the product mix and all. But we do plan out our, you know, capacities in a manner where we ensure, you know, highest level of production efficiency and bring in more productivity to continuously keep churning, you know, higher volumes of products, which will end up generating revenues for us. So, even in the process, you know, a lot of process efficiency that we build in the same capacity, a lot of times we are able to get more output from the same capacity. So that's why I'm saying, we may not be able to put out actual number saying that this would be the peak revenue that we can generate from the existing capacity.
Got it. So I think a suggested number of in between 2030 to 2020, we had an asset turn of average around 2. So would it be right to assume that okay, this is the possible asset turn that we can have in the future, or that would be the wrong assumption?
No, again, changes because...
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it changes because, you know, in 2013, a large part was the API sales. Now we have got other assets also coming in, which generate higher revenues and all. So it may not be, you know, right to say that 2 times will be the peak asset turnover and all.
Thank you so much and all the best for the next.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. First on the ADC biosimilars, we've stated that it will enter human studies in FY27. I don't know if you're interested. Is it for India specific or is it for global? Now that US FDA has relaxed norms for biosimilars, are we looking at global trials?
Global. And also just to update you, Sanjay here, see, majorly all our products right in biologic side from even next financial year, you will see majority of the products we will be taking it to global market.
So even Nivo and Pembro, you'll go global?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, and I'm already seeing a lot of companies are signing partnerships for these products for various markets. So will you go direct? Or through partnerships, when will we be signing partnerships?
So we expect some partnerships shortly in FY27, Sanjay.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know the KPIs for you and Madhav, and are ROC market care part of your KPIs?
Yes, it's part of our KPIs.
Okay. And for any project, what will be the internal IRR that you guys usually target?
Yeah, I think some of these are, you know, fairly strategic, for our organization to keep it internal. So we may not be able to provide those guidance. Yeah.
Okay. Final question. So was there any one-off in Q3 formulation revenue? You did say that this is a base, but just trying to get your thoughts again. Was there any one-off in the Q3 revenues?
No. We have a saying that we have any one-off.
Okay.
One-offs do get reported separately.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Alpesh Dalal for closing comments.
Yep. Thank you, everyone. Thanks a lot for your participation, and we appreciate your you making time with us. If you have any follow-on queries, feel free to reach out to our IR team, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shilpa Medical Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.